Coming up on today's show.
An epiphany and come over me like, you're in this by yourself, man. You don't have no one to help you, no one to save you, no one wants to deal with you. And it's because of your repeated behavior. Now, little did I know at that time that God was already working in my life, man.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or catholicsportsradio.com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday when the new episode of this show comes out. Social media is as follows: Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group, whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. Below my picture, near the top of the homepage of catholicsportsradio.net, there is a white button that says Join Our Facebook Group. Tap or click on that to get taken there. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. As NFL training camps get set to open, we will hear about players holding out or potentially holding out. Contracts are so very publicly discussed in the media and in the off-season. We hear reports of how much a player wants to get paid and or the fact that he feels he should be earning the same amount as someone else at his position who just got rewarded with a new deal and where they fall in terms of top players at their position. The agents present extensive data to get ahead of the owner and or the general manager to answer the what have you done for me lately question. If you think about it, we all want our reward too, do we not? I am talking about our faith life. We all want to spend eternity in heaven, but are we putting in the time and the effort to live as Christ taught us so as to resemble how one should have lived if they are going to take their place in God's kingdom forever? Our Father wants us there with Him and is holding a place for us. Consider Psalm 62, verses 12 and 13, which say, quote, One thing God has said, two things I have heard, strength belongs to God, so too my Lord does mercy, for you repay each man according to his deeds. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest began playing football at a young age and continued with the sport into high school, drawing attention from colleges who expressed interest. He went on to play semi-pro football for the South Jersey Generals. He has a powerful story of redemption, and on the other side of that, coached offensive and defensive linemen on an undefeated Pop Warner team. He hosts a show called the Creating Greatness podcast. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Robert Prash.
Thank you so much, brother, for having me. I'm very excited for our conversation.
Absolutely, absolutely. Robert, let's get started by having you share with us first where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
Well, I was born in Washington Township, New Jersey, and raised all over South Jersey, moved around quite a bit. And I have a five-person family, two of which are my siblings, an older sister and a younger brother. So I was right there in the middle.
Okay, and tell us about the presence of the Catholic faith in the Prash household when you were a young boy, including any Catholic education you received.
Sure. Well, you know, it was kind of an expected thing. It was I was going to church because my parents were going, and, you know, they kind of forced me to go as a child. We did the CCD, the confirmation, and and just finished all that up. But after that, I kind of fell off quite a bit, as we'll talk about.
So you were or were not attending any Catholic schools?
Just CCD and the basic learning that you have to do to receive sacrament.
Yeah, okay. I said in the intro that you started playing football at a young age. Share with the audience how young you were, as well as who or what interested you in that sport and whether you played any other sports.
Well, yeah, you know what? It all kind of started with Hulk Hogan and wrestling, actually. You know, growing up at that time, I'm 46 years old, so that kind of show you where I was at. And God rest his soul. It was great to see him come to Jesus before he passed away. And I was just super excited and a mildly aggressive kid. I just wanted to wrestle and be rough and tough. And so that naturally led me into football. And I just remember begging my mom and dad to play a couple years before I actually got to play. And, you know, because it was a little bit expensive for us. But, yeah, I got in around age 10 and never stopped. I was always a heavyweight, though. Always had to cut weight.
Back in the day when they would go after a child for something like that, was that something that was directed to you? Hey, you know, you're a little big. Let's do something about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, as soon as I started playing, I was overweight. And they had weight limits. And no one approached me like, hey, you're big. Like, let's do this. They were like, hey, you're big. Take this trash bag. Run a lap.
Wow.
You know, it was a little bit more intense back then and something that would not be acceptable today.
Okay. Interesting. Let's start unraveling your story. I'm thinking about the period of your life, say, when you were a senior in high school and were playing football and getting letters from some colleges that were showing interest. Take us back to that point.
Yeah, so just played all through Pee Wee, you know, hit the All-Stars a couple times, won a couple championships, was really going in the right direction athletically. I stuck with the wrestling freshman year, wrestled 135, sophomore year, wrestled 152, which always kept me in elevated condition. You know, it was in the newspaper when I started playing football, was made All-South Jersey my junior year. But the problem was I grew up in Bridgeton, New Jersey, and it's a great historic neighborhood, but it also has its dark side. And something in me, I can't really place it, was attracted to that. Mm. And I spent more time in the streets, hanging out with my buddies, than I did practicing, lifting weights, and doing my schoolwork, which is what eventually led to my downfall. My senior year, I wasn't eligible to play. And at that point, being a young, immature, irresponsible person, I said, okay, I had enough. You know, I was only really here to play football. And at that point, I went ahead and left high school.
Mm. So just clarify, you said I wasn't eligible to play. You mean in college or you weren't even eligible for your senior year?
I wasn't eligible for my senior year. Yeah. Due to my 11th grade final report card. Yeah.
Wow. Well, this is interesting to me because we hear a lot of guests on this show that will admit that they were at a point in their life, maybe it was high school, maybe it was college, maybe it was as soon as they got into the pros, where that was their whole life. That was their number one priority. Dare I say, that's what they worshipped was sport. And it sounded in your case, like you were starting to tell us, football was the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. I lived to play. When I was the big, tough kid, and I cried like a baby when they told me I couldn't play. I mean, yeah, I was absolutely devastated. And then, you know, as a teenager and being immature once again, I was actually kind of hurt, you know, that like no one seemed to care but me. You know, it's like that move right on thing. You know, the coach is already, you know, you're not in the circle. You're automatically, you know, not in an elevated social life. You go, whoa, what happened? So it was really my first experience with like, not only the devastation of not being able to do something that I very much loved, and what you're saying is kind of true, idolized, you know, falsely. But then that feeling of like friends not treating you the same and coaches not treating you the same, like immediately, you know, after all you had done for them. Mm. So definitely taught me not to lean on people, although I learned that lesson a lot of more time.
But now that you're 46 years old and you've done some coaching yourself, looking back, can you say with a clear head that they handled that wrong, that yes, you absolutely should have been disciplined for hanging out with the wrong crowd and getting into trouble, but it sounds like it really did something to you emotionally in terms of here's someone that was at a young, impressionable age, and they really just, I don't want to say pulled the rug out from under you, but, you know, if nothing else, really burst your balloon. Was that handled properly or no?
Well, you know what? I think maybe at the time my parents were splitting at this time, so there was less attention on what I was doing, and maybe I could have used some further support there. Like, maybe there were some avenues that we could have explored to keep me playing in some way. The coaches and the teachers and the principals, honestly, I'm not going to sit here and play the victim game. You know, they all did their job.
Okay.
And
okay,
if they just treated me a little bit differently, you know, hey, I don't think that that's a terrible thing. And I will say this is also that I was so immature and irresponsible and just a knucklehead. It's like my offensive line tried to talk to me about Jesus in detention. I was serving for something stupid that I did. And I just didn't want to hear it. You know, I was just very just thinking I knew it all, you know, and very wrong.
Okay. Yet you weren't done playing football. Tell me, how does one land on a semi-pro football team such as you did with the South Jersey Generals? And how long did that last, or how long did that not last?
Well, I'll tell you what, I was doing some coaching, some assistant coaching, offensive defensive line in the Bridgeton and Cumberland area. And I had some friends that were playing on the Bridgeton team. Bridgeton has a semi-pro team, great team. And I wasn't living in Bridgeton at the time. I was commuting to coach and just kind of still be around the game. And they're like, hey, well, you know, Gloucester County has a team too. You know, it's out in Glassboro. Coincidentally, I lived very close to Glassboro, and I just started going down there and catching the guys at practice. It wasn't a like formal tryout. It was more like, hey, let's get out there and start scrapping it up, and then cuts were made later on down the line.
Okay, and so how long did you end up playing for the South Jersey Generals, and what brought that to an end?
I played 2 full years for them, and then the third year, my extracurricular activities got the best of me, and that was the end of my playing career.
Got the best of you to what extent? Go ahead and share with the audience the beginning of your testimony.
Well, you know, throughout all this time, you know, we're talking about sports and football and guiding through a young life. I was a runaway train very much just when I wasn't involved in athletics or something where I had discipline. There was no other area of my life which I had discipline.
Mm.
You know, I overate, I smoked marijuana, I hung out with the wrong crowd and always wanted to get in trouble. I fought, you know, I started things. It just was, I was doing these things all throughout my childhood, early teens, late teens. And, you know, and then as I got older and playing on that team, you know, not only just with that team, but, you know, the nightlife associated with it, I would come into contact with all kinds of characters around the South Jersey area. And yeah, I got involved in a lot of really bad things, you know, nothing violent or weird, but just regular, you know, unlawful behavior. And yeah, ended up landing myself in the state prison with a 5-year sentence in Bayside State Prison.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Wow. Friends, praise God that Robert has victory to share with us, nothing to do with football games. And he told me in the lead up to today that, quote, I only want to promote the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, end quote. There's a part of me that feels that his having been raised Catholic perhaps had to help with his redemption and fasten your seatbelts for him to tell us about the decision he made that turned his life around. You just heard him say that he did wind up in state prison. Alliance Catholic Credit Union is a proud sponsor of Catholic Sports Radio, and when you become a member of Alliance Catholic Credit Union, you are helping to support Catholic education. Through Alliance Catholic Foundation, they provide over $50,000 in scholarships every year to families, Catholic high school students, and young people pursuing a college degree. By becoming a friend of the foundation, you help support this work and are eligible to take advantage of all the benefits offered by Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at alliancecatholic.com. Alliance Catholic Credit Union, a financial home for Catholics where banking feels like a blessing. Federally insured by NCUA. By the way, please be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Friends, it is deja vu all over again, as the late Yogi Berra once said. 5 weeks ago, on episode 384 of this show, during my interview with former National Hockey League player Wes Walls, you heard me mentioning Mike Lynch, the head women's soccer coach at Belmont Abbey College. Not only was he the guest way back on episode 287 of this show, but he has become a true supporter of my ministry. Not only was I thanking Mike during the Wes Walls interview for having sent in a financial gift to Catholic Sports Radio, but now he has done so again. I'm just so truly touched, honestly. Support like that from guests and listeners, yes, absolutely helps me with all the costs that I am faced with as it relates to operating Catholic Sports Radio both on and off the air. But moreover, it tells me that you like what I am doing, that you believe in this mix of faith and sports, that you appreciate the time and the work I put into this, and that you want to help keep it all going and growing. Join Mike Lynch and include this ministry as part of your tithing. You can do so the way that he did, meaning via the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That method is fast, it is easy, and it is secure. It allows you to use your credit card, debit card, or even PayPal, and you type in whatever amount you want. There is no drop-down list of amounts to choose from. Alternatively, for the folks who do not like putting credit card information on the internet, you can write to me through the website, through social media, or by emailing me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net for information on sending a check through the mail. And then, as you are hearing me do with Mike Lynch, with your permission, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, or as some have asked me to do, you can direct me to keep it anonymous. I am grateful for your prayerful consideration to include this ministry as part of your tithing, as I continue working to bring us all closer to Jesus through the mix of faith and sports. Robert, please continue your story. You told us you went to prison, but now share the redemption. I said before the break that you made a decision that turned your life around. Pick the story back up for us, please.
Yeah. Amen. So I had mentioned earlier, like how when I was ineligible to play, how everyone just dropped me like a bad habit. And it was a big lesson that I learned in my life. Now here goes the second time I learned that lesson as I'm sitting in my cell, coming to realization of what my life actually has come to. And I'm thinking about all the people that, you know, wouldn't answer my phone calls or wouldn't answer a letter or wouldn't come visit me. And I recognize something like an epiphany and come over me like, you're in this by yourself, man. You don't have no one to help you, no one to save you. No one wants to deal with you. And it's because of your repeated behavior. Now, little did I know at that time that God was already working in my life, man. He was already working in my life because that realization had made me say, hey, look, I got to make a change. If your own mom doesn't even want to talk to you, you're doing something wrong, man. So I just switched perspectives. I knew I was doing everything wrong. I wanted to do something right. So I really just did the opposite of what my instincts were. I started doing the opposite. So instead of going out to the card table and gambling or, you know, going to get in trouble or go try to receive contraband and do all these different things, instead I got all the books and went into my cell. I did a 23-hour lock-in where I was only allowed out 1 hour a day. But what I did for those 23 hours was read and pray and meditate and just try to learn everything I could that was going to change my life. I exercised. I worked out. I might not have mentioned, I went into prison obese, addicted to drugs, you know, so many different things. So I just totally rearranged my entire, like, consciousness. And God wasn't done with me yet. He didn't even reveal himself to me yet, but something had sparked. And from that moment on, I got out, I changed my life, you know, and then the powerful testimony part that will come with Jesus is a little bit later, believe it or not. But I know that it was God working in my life, changing me, making me different, preparing me to receive the gospel so that once I received it, it hit home. And there's been no turning back since then.
Was there one significant moment that you point to where he did fully reveal himself to you, or was it over time and gradual?
Well, you know, it's a weird thing. You know, people have their coming to God moment all different. And I am a firm believer, and I hope that I don't offend anyone with this, but that it is a supernatural experience. That's why I struggle with evangelism, although I'm working with it and doing my best to just do it. But mine was over a series of discussions that I had about Jesus. I was so happy that my life was better. I was so adamant about the things I knew and how to do it. I also recognized so many people in my neighborhood suffering the same way that I was, and I wanted to help. So I started my podcast. On my podcast, I talked about self-improvement and all these different respects. people would come on and begin to talk about Jesus. And what would keep happening to me, especially my friend, you know, my good friend, Tony Spencer, who's my co-host, and he also, you know, discipled me. He would talk about Jesus. And when I would talk about Jesus, I would like light up inside. This sounds corny, but so true. I would get goosebumps. I would feel energy. Mm-hmm. I would feel like this weird thing. And then, so I would like dismiss it, you know, because I just wasn't there yet. But then, you know, I'm doing the podcast every week. It kept popping up. Jesus, Jesus Christ. And every single time, even right now, when I'm talking about Jesus, something within me changed. I light up. I get goosebumps. Mm. I feel energy. And that led me towards the Bible. Like, okay, there's something here, man. I got to get into this. And so I just started reading the gospel. I haven't read the whole thing yet, but I'm in 2 Peter right now. And man, it just is a gift that keeps on giving. I'm learning the way to actually live my life. It's right there. You know, you just have to take the time to get into it, man.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Oh, and just to bring sports back into this, following your redemption, you returned to football, although this time as a coach in Pop Warner.
Yeah, I went back to coaching. I just wanted to be around the game again. It's something that I loved, although it's nice because I was able to go back to it without that idolatry. It was like, hey, this is fun. This is a great thing. It's good for me. It's good for the kids. It's good for the world. But Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. You know, and I went there and I did offensive and defensive line. I had a great time, you know, chopping it up with the kids, getting moving with the kids, getting to talk to kids, you know, and just try to lead them in the right direction. It's like really just leading them the opposite of how I was led when I was growing up.
Wow.
And yeah, we had a very successful season. Always had good success there. But the one season we were undefeated and didn't even get scored on until the playoffs. Had a lot of all-star kids that year, man. It was really great and fun experience.
Wow. What a great story. What a great story. You've really come full circle in terms of turning things around. You relocated from New Jersey to Florida, started a family, started a podcast, started a small business, and you do prison ministry. Tell us about what the prison ministry entails that you do.
Yeah, I mean, just going back to like my line of thinking with the podcast is that I want to help people. You know, I know that people are suffering like me mentally, you know, with addictions, with demons in their mind, and just going through all different things with family and their spouses and their children. And I know that it could be better for them. And I want to help them. So I started getting involved with prison ministry here in Florida. I got approved and did all that stuff. And it started out where I was going by myself. You know, I was going by myself. I was going right to the tiers, talking with the guys, praying with the guys. And I even played cards with the guy, you know, just to be able to open the door to be able to talk about Jesus, you know, maybe like during the card game. But now I go with a prison ministry here in Southwest Florida. And what we focus on is you know, being a husband, being a father. And then I also do a smaller portion for guys that have release dates that are going to see the light of day within the next year, because I do obviously have expertise in reducing recidivism and also reintegration into society. I've done that very successfully. I want to help these guys succeed. So now they're set up to where they'll never go back to their old ways again.
This is interesting to me because nowhere in there did I hear you say the prison ministry is through the parish that you belong to. I guess, pardon my naivety, I didn't know that one could do prison ministry other than through their parish.
No, no, it's not through my parish. My parish is St. Catherine Drexel right here in Cape Coral, but I originally volunteered directly through the prison chaplain. And after so many solo visits, I started pecking around to the chaplain and asking him, hey, was there any groups that would like me to come? Because it's just a little bit better to go in with a group of guys. It's more organized. Sometimes when I was traveling around the prison solo, it's a little bit frustrating because you have to get the guard's attention. Hey, could you open this door? Could you open that door? And they are very happy to have you there. But at the same time, a lot of times I just felt like I was in the way. So
yeah,
when you go with a group, it's a scheduled time. The COs know you're going. They know when to let you in. They know when to let you out. And it's just a little more organized and fits my life schedule a lot better. And I think maximizes the help to the fellows.
So then clarify something else, because your podcast, it's called Creating Greatness. It sounds like you created that before you really had your full reversion to your Catholic faith. And so that tells me that this was not founded as a podcast that was faith-based. So tell us more about the Creating Greatness podcast.
Yeah, certainly not, man. You're sharp. You're a clever person. Obviously, you must be to have this show and be this successful with it. But yeah, man, I started the show as a born Catholic, a raised Catholic, a baptized Catholic, but not a practicing Catholic. I wasn't on fire. I didn't understand the gospel. I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I knew about Jesus. I didn't know Jesus. And that's a little bit of the difference there. But I was very much on fire for physical fitness. I was now in shape and breath work, meditation and prayer, even prayer as a, is not a practicing, but just trying to help people on mindset and discipline and all these different things. As I told you, guests would come on, talk about Jesus more and more and more. I started growing my faith, I started making the intentional shift from a self-improvement related show to almost like a Bible study. I do commentary on other books, like The Imitation of Christ, Lessons from Luke, all these different religious texts. And when I got there, I said, I got to switch the name. I got to switch the name, Creating Greatness. Like, what does that even mean, right? And I started coming across some literature talking about the true definition of greatness. And I'm even doing it now with this lesson I'm talking about on the podcast about lessening yourself. John the Baptist said, I have to decrease so he can increase. There's been other lessons. I think Charles Spurgeon has a quote, I have to lessen so Christ can increase within me. So I started getting around this idea, even for this podcast right here. I say, Lord, let me speak to these people and touch someone's heart. Let me represent you and my faith in a good way. Let me be articulate, calm, and all these different things. But what I really want to do is just shine the light on my Lord and Savior. So if you lessen yourself and Christ increases in you, your greatness is there. It has to be there. Christ is with you. The Holy Spirit is in you. You're a new creation. So I only search now to be great in the eyes of God. I've denied the world. I've denied the flesh. I condemn the opinion of men. What I do care about is the opinion of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to be great in his eyes. In that way, I must lessen. I must decrease. And that's the whole purpose of the show, is decrease you, die to self, invite Christ, grow Christ, and eliminate vices and implant virtues. That is the way to purity. That is the way to holiness and righteousness, which we are called as Christians to do. That's the path, man. That's the journey. That's what we do on Creating Greatness Podcast.
Yeah, this is not a business podcast that you're doing about owners who have really created a great business model or just flat out a great business for themselves.
No, sir. Creating greatness in the eyes of the Lord, that is what matters.
Amen. Amen. Well, there's a final lesson that you can share with us. As we close, I do want you to tell us about your wife and how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as the family that the two of you have made. But also, I want you to tell us about speaking with your priest about your son playing football.
Yeah, so you're hitting everything that's happening recently, man. It's just been a great show. I have a beautiful wife. We've been together for 10 years. We've been married for 9 years. And we have three children, three boys, a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 5-year-old. Just here recently, I thought, hey, let me introduce my kids to football, especially my youngest, who's 5. Because he is exactly like me. He's like a little meatball, a little bowling ball of destruction. So we go down to the football field here, and I'm having a lot of trouble immediately because there's cursing, there's arguing, there's kids running around without supervision.
Wait, hold on a second. We're talking about you took your 5-year-old there?
I did.
Five-year-old.
I had no idea. I had no idea these things would be going on.
Wow. Okay. Please continue with the lesson because this is already an eye opener for me.
Oh my goodness. The culture is very different from when we were kids. When I was a kid, there was drinking and knucklehead stuff going on, but it's a very different scene now. So I took my kid. Well, first of all, the guy that cursed, he came over to me, he apologized and said he was sorry and all this stuff. And this isn't the way they run the league and all these things that kind of made me stay because I was on my way out as soon as I heard that. Me and my family walked away. The guy actually chased me down. And so I said, maybe this is a sign that I should let the kids play. I'll give this guy another chance. And it did get better. But what you do see down the field is all those same things. You see people behaving badly. You see kids not supervised. You see sin, a lot of sin. And I was afraid because I'm now introducing my kids to this. And I wanted them out. So I talked to my kids privately at home and I said, hey, can we do something else? Can we do karate? Can we do a different sport? Mm-hmm. And they were upset. They, Dad, oh man, it's so fun. We love it. We love it. So now I'm struggling. I'm going through this big internal struggle. I go to confession, you know, the routine there. But eventually I got to it. I'm struggling, Father. I'm struggling. My boys want to play ball. I'm going down there. I'm introducing them to all these different things. I don't know what to do. I get so angry at the sin, even though I'm a sinner myself, you know? And he said, well, you can use this as an example of the faith. Go there with honor and discipline and integrity. And you can also use this as a counterbalance for a lesson for your son. This is wrong. This is bad. This is unacceptable. That's living in sin. This is the way. And the good thing about it is my kids have a very firm foundation in the faith. So we discuss everything that happened in practice, what he may have seen, what kids might have said, and then we go from there. But yeah, I am able to take the father's advice, and it has helped me immensely. Praise God.
Wow. Ooh, boy. Audience, has this been tremendous testimony? I know it has, from the start to finish with, everything that Robert's been through on his journey. And obviously we all know we're all in our own walk. It's only going to continue. But Robert, thank you ever so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio and making yourself vulnerable and exposing those wounds and sharing your story with us. God bless you and your family.
God bless you as well. And God bless all the listeners. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. And audience, I want to focus on the joy that Robert said that he got from coaching Pop Warner. And let's close as a result with one of our prayers for coaches and do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Lord, it is so easy for me to lose perspective, to get focused on the little picture of my job rather than on the big picture of the work to which you have called me. Help me to persevere. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.